Morrissey had a song, "Such a Little Thing Can Make Such a Big Difference," and that's been going around my head a lot today. So I figured I'd talk about it on I Should Be Writing Season 17, Episode 76. I think that's right.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. I should be submitting my next draft. But I'm sitting home watching Doctor.
Hi there, welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. We stream on Twitch twice a week, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, twitch.tv/mightymer. You can come hang out, enjoy it live, or you can subscribe to the podcast later at merverse.com or wherever podcasts are found. I am an author. I've been a podcaster since 2004, and my dog's making noise. Okay, whatever. And I like to talk about writing. One thing funny about ADHD is the whole executive function problem. You know, you have you're like a muscle, your brain gets tired throughout the day. And, you know, they've done studies about just parole board, those you know, the judge hears parole case after parole case after parole case. If you are in the morning, you have a better chance of getting paroled than in the afternoon when the judge has already heard a whole bunch of other trials and they're done. You know, it's like their brain just does not want to mess with it anymore, and so you get denied more if you're in the afternoon. And I was trying to do the eating the frog thing and do everything on my list today after my writing. Do everything on my list that I didn't want to do. Just anything on my list that gave me like a slight bit of anxiety or nausea, I'm like, I'm doing that. So I did my author questionnaire. And if you listen to Ditch Diggers, you've heard me and Matt complain about this. It's, I guess it's necessary. It's marketing asking you about all the ways... They're asking for all the information they need to market the book properly. I feel like it makes more sense in a nonfiction kind of situation because you'll probably have professional contacts and be able to do a lecture circuit or something. And with fiction, it's a little different. But I had a 5-page questionnaire I had to answer. And a lot of the questions were, what's your favorite book right now? And I'm like... Well, last night I finished Matt's Supervillain's Guide to Being a Fat Kid. So that's the one on my mind. I don't know. And then I had to do favorite movies, why I wanted to be a writer, who I knew. It's like who I knew in media, who I knew in professional context, and who had good websites. And they're like, it's all the same people. I'm like, just see above. And so I realized, as somebody with ADHD, the executive function just goes away really fast. I'm like, I'm looking at the, like, what's your favorite movies? What are your favorite movies? And I'm like, I don't know. I saw a movie once. That's what I remember. I just saw Dune. That comes to mind. Wasn't my favorite. Yeah. Well, Tree Lobsters, they also want to know, like funny anecdotes for making the book. And I did far more research into violin composers and music that was necessary for the book. I have a large group, big old stack of anecdotes, metaphorical stack, about all the composers who were said to have made a deal with the devil. There's more than one. There's more than one specifically. Violin musician or composer who was said to make a deal with the devil. That was fascinating. Also, Ben Franklin wrote a quartet for 3 violins and 1 cello, open strings. No use of the left hand at all. You just play it on open strings. Everything's got to be tuned properly. But I found that interesting. I did use that in the book, but so it's like little things like that. I can see where they want anecdotes like that. Like the stories of me and Ursula going to New Orleans, that it's that kind of anecdotes they're looking for. But it's a five page thing that about half of them require like thought. Who you know, who might help us promote, how much press you've done in the past, etc. So yeah, it's a lot. So anyway, I'm going off script, and I don't even have a script. Yeah, what I've been working on is I've been working on my freelance work. It's getting cool. I want to talk about that later today, hence our topic. But also, I've been working on my NaNoWriMo novel. I am officially saying that the work I did today is the work of the book she's reading in my NaNoWriMo novel, so all of the words apply. And so I think I'm at about 13,000 now. And today's goal is 15, so I am catching up. I'm excited. Good news? Not a ton, I don't think. If you guys have good news, feel free to share. I would like to say I'm absolutely delighted that my people are starting to send in emails for the giveaway for the Fonda Lee trilogy. I have the books ordered. My local bookstore could get hardcover, so it's going to be a complete hardcover set. It's going to be beautiful. The colors of these books are just gorgeous, so they're all going to sit really nicely on the shelf together. So yeah, I'm getting some people who want that. If you've missed it or you forgot, if you want to enter the giveaway to get the Fonda Lee trilogy, just email me with giveaway in the subject line. Some people just say giveaway, and some actually put something in the email, and both are fine. The one that said giveaway, I'm like, wow, short and to the point. I like it. I'm checking my email to see if I missed any good news. I don't think I have any. But feel free to put your good news in the chat. I will share it with folks. And if you have any good news and you're listening to this later, feel free to email me. I would be delighted to share it with everybody. And hit the yay button. Oh, that's right. I have an official yay button now. We have a yay button. Merch button. But yeah, I have a Redbubble account. I don't have the link at hand. I don't know if Numbers Ninja has joined us or not. But also, you can find it. If you search for Mighty Mer on Redbubble, you'll probably find it. So we've got a lot of things. We've got the no moderator image. We've got I should be writing. We've got the tiny Mer like this. Not specifically this one, because this was a Streamlabs thing. And we did a yay button. Did a yay button, a yay hat, and a yay blanket, because it looked really neat. And I believe somebody, Fire Rider, I think it was, requested a blanket, and I found out that there are blankets. So I'm pleased to say that, but yeah. So anyway, we're going to go into the chat to find the happiness in there. We got Ling got the flu shot. Awesome. Kit's a little behind on pace for Nano, but I had to work on site the first week, so I planned for that with a few heavier days when I'm not working. Very smart. Hey, E-Words, I just put in a submission to write for the people who did Disco Elysium. Wow. Good luck, and we're going to say yay for that, for sure. The fun-looking gloves. I pretty much have to buy fingerless gloves all year because my hands get cold, very cold. So these are actually my husband's, so I don't know where he got them. But I was complaining that I needed to get out to Target and pick up some medication and get this year's fingerless gloves because my hands were cold. And he's like, well, you can wear mine today. So these are my husband's. So I don't know where he got them. But the brand is, what is the brand? Brownmed.com. Oh, they're compression gloves. IMAC compression gloves. IMAK. So, kids are asleep is here. First dose today. How are the kids doing? I mean, I have heard that now they can get their vaccines, but are they having any of the same symptoms adults are? Are they dealing with it better or what's going on? I mean, I know they just got the first dose, so they can't get the second one for a while. And the second one kicked more asses than the first one did, I believe. Also, I have two merch stores because I have one just for Patreon supporters. And that's the other side of this mug. So if you are a Patreon supporter, you get access to the other merchandise store. And for now, I'm not sure how long it's going to be, but for now, I'm selling everything at cost plus a dollar because I want to be able to pay the artist. So, that is hopefully an incentive to join the Patreon, and I will be sending out that, link. I was trying to figure out the best merchandise option, Streamlabs or Redbubble, and I realized I kind of liked both, so I kept all the Patreon supporter fabulous stuff over on Streamlabs, and then I made a bunch of stuff on, Redbubble, right. But yes, Patreon supporters will get a discount. Let's see. Yes, more kids getting? Yay. Oh, she is so happy to get her vaccine. That's awesome. Yay, Daniel Beer, for that. Cheer for all the kids getting vaccinated and all the parents who can relax just a little bit. I'm a dad, I'm legally required to make puns. That's fair. Celebrated 5th wedding anniversary yesterday. Way to go. Well done, Tree Lobsters. That's awesome. Grandmother turns 109 on Friday. That is hardcore. Daughter's not having side effects. And haven't heard about kid reactions. Jasmine loves puns. A lot of people love puns. I fully know I am the fun hater. I accept it. And you know what? I'll just be honest with y'all. I think it might be jealousy. Because I'm not good at them. And I feel a strange pressure being a writer that I need to be good at the word stuff. Like all the word games, Scrabble. And yeah. And I'm not good with words at all. I like telling stories. And when people get really clever with the puns, I think I kind of resent them. I'm trying to be an adult here and grow and admit it. I did fully say, you know, my friend made a pun on Midsummer Murders, and that got, marketing chose that as the title for the series. And I didn't put him in the acknowledgements. Oh, crap. I'm going to send out an email today. Anyway. I do want to say I am delighted to be supported by Scribophile again. They wanted to do another month of support, and I said sure, because I love being able to tell people where they can find beta readers, writing groups, crit groups, and in November, we find out through NaNoWriMo how important community is and how much it jazzes you up. And I think when NaNoWriMo's over, a lot of that's going to fizzle out. So going to a place that supports communities for the entire year would be a good idea. So that's why I'm suggesting Scribophile. I want to talk about kind of two things today. One is, I want to read you, I finished Matt's book last night, The Supervillain's Guide to Being a Fat Kid. And it's about, it's a middle grade book about Max, who thinks that superheroes are kind of full of themselves and do a lot of damage. And there's a supervillain who'd been captured and was fat, and he always thought the guy was pretty smart. And so this kid writes to the supervillain in prison asking for advice on how to deal with these bullies. And so the supervillain gives him advice on how to change things. And it's a really, really interesting book. One of the things I say about it is you get to learn the upside of supervillains and the downside of bettering yourself, because it actually, he talks about, it covers what happens when you make things better for yourself, but those around you don't. And so the unexpected, like, resentment of you making positive changes, that comes up. And I'm like, man, dude, it's a middle grade book. This is deep stuff. I was really impressed. But then I'm reading, there's an assembly. And so let me read you the line. If you follow me on Twitter, you and saw it today, then you know what I'm going to be doing. But, ladies and gentlemen and all of our non-binary students, let's give a big round of applause for the two young bakers, blah, 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 blah. There's no openly LGBT character in the book. There's no social justice, virtue signaling, whatever stupid words they come up with for people who try to be kind to other people who are not like them. The book is a lot about, you know, battling fat phobia. But that line is in there. And I don't care how many people say something's just a book or something's just a movie or just a TV show. Little things like that stick in your teeth. And they make you remember them. And I know a lot of people are angry that corporations can see money from marginalized groups and the people who support them, and that's the only reason they're supporting them. Even so, every time you see a positive depiction of something that's not like you, that's like another penny in the jar. That makes a difference. And I got an email from somebody who said she was trans and she wanted to thank me for 6 Wakes. And I'm like, thank you, but I don't have any trans characters in 6 Wakes. And she said, yeah, but there's a line in there where you talk about how if you are born trans, then if you become a clone, the next time you get a body, you can have one that's your actual gender, not the gender you were assigned at birth. And I just mentioned that as a list of things for people to want to improve if they do get cloned and get a new body. It was just one of a list. And just the fact that it was in there made a difference to her. And please understand, I am not a member of the LGBTQ community. I cannot fully speak. But as a writer, I'm noticing these things. And I want to say, as a writer, a lot of times people look at groups that are not them. And they, even if they do want to do the good thing and do the representation, they're worried they're going to get it wrong. And they're worried they're going to hurt somebody. Or they're more selfish and worried they're going to get yelled at. Whatever. But I'm learning that just doing a positive reaction to a variety of things, that's something. It's not nothing. And Again, I'm trying to be careful saying this because I don't want to imply that all you have to do is this. But putting little things like that in there, it's one of the many things we try to do to change people's vision of something. It's not going to rock the world, but it's one positive thing, and that is good. So I urge you to, like Matt did, it's just like, ladies and gentlemen and all of our non-binary students, I'm going to present this. It doesn't hang a lantern on it. It doesn't bring anything up about how the school treats queer kids. It's just this line that normalizes it. And that's fantastic. Oh, I would have been excited to read that as a kid, grew up as bullied fat kid, and never could find characters like me. Yeah, that's why he wrote it. He wrote the book that he needed when he was a kid. Kit says, I wish I'd had that as a kid who didn't realize that non-binary was a thing. Yeah, I didn't. It's normalizing. I like that. My favorite thing about now is all creators get to help paint the picture of the way the world will be one day. That's a good point. Thank you, E-Words. So, if you find a place you can just put people who are being people and doing people things and living their lives, it's not political, you're just reflecting the world. But onto the ego thing. This morning, my meeting was with an editor for what I was writing. And I was pretty happy with what I was writing. And he pointed out all the weaknesses. And I was so grateful. Because this is one reason why I don't self-pub. Granted, I know I can hire somebody. I know. Laziness and ADHD are also reasons I don't self-pub, but, well, anymore. But working with an editor is something that I don't think a lot of new writers think about, because you are so in love with what you're doing. I mean, you probably wanted to tell stories all your life, and you're finally doing it. You're getting the chance, and someone's going to read it, and that's amazing, and it's exciting, and they don't love it as much as you do. And people can get angry, and people can not want anyone to touch their perfect prose, or immediately think that that person's wrong. And sometimes editors are wrong. But I am grateful to this editor for pointing out a number of things. And they're not huge. It's not this sucks, start over. It was just more exposition here, fewer characters there, a way to look at the audience, you know, how to think about the audience when I'm doing this. And it was really useful. And it just reminded me how much I've been complaining all year about it, and not necessarily blaming the editors, just, you know, part of it is on me, is feeling bad myself about the edits that I could not turn around in a satisfactory way to my editors. But this feels like this is an edit I can work with, and I didn't screw up the original too bad, and I didn't screw up the original at all. That's the thing, is like a lot of edits are not, this is bad, it's, you have too many characters in this scene, or the reader's going to be confused by this, or we got to make the reader care, you got to up the stakes. Those are all, it's like adding spice to a meal. Like, your turkey is not completely ruined because it needs spice. You just need spice. Put the spice on. Yes, I recently saw Dune. Why do you ask? So, and I'm wondering, I've had editors do this to me before, and I don't know if it's an ingrained sexist thing or if it's authors are becoming more precious overall. But I've had editors ask me, like, suggest changes, and then they'll be like, is that okay? Or one editor asked my agent, like, I'm going to ask for some significant edits here. Is she going to be okay with that? And I'm like, look, I'm doing my job. And if somebody wants to tell me that something needs improvement, yes, please tell me now so I don't send a crappy book out there. So, working with an editor, ideally, is supposed to make your piece better. And you should be open to it. And again, editors are not infallible. Publishers are not infallible. So you do need to pay attention and not think that they're completely wrong. I didn't push back. I just didn't take one editor's advice one time, suggesting a gender flip thing, because that was not the story I wanted to tell. Or rather, I was doing a sort of gender flip thing, and his advice was to switch it to where... Yeah, never mind. Anyway, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to be identifying. But basically, editor asked me... Not asked me. Suggested a gender change, and I didn't do it. And he didn't bring it up again. But... Yeah. Anyway, that's just the thing. I know it's not a huge big deal that I'm talking about, but I feel like I don't talk about it enough since this is technically a beginning writer's podcast, is that editors are not out to get you. They're not out to steal your ideas. They're not out to stifle you. They want your story to be the best that it can be for the market. And, you know, I, if you're on Twitter, writer Twitter, you can hear all the horror stories about copy editors, which I've had really good ones and had really bad ones, and that's kind of another thing. Because I think sometimes copy editors have it in their head what their job is, and the authors anticipate something else, but I'm getting, the question of whether someone knows what a word means comes up a lot among me and my friends. It's like, did the copy editor ask you what that word meant? It's... Yeah. But, I'm gonna end this here for the feed. Remember, it is... Well, this will go up in a couple of days, so... but right now it is day 13. I hope you're going well. Week 2 is tough. Wait, did I say 13? What the hell is wrong with me? I'm gonna try that again. Day 9. 13,000. That's what I was thinking, but it's 15,000. Who knows? It is day 9 of NaNoWriMo. This will go up later. But for now, we need to be at 15,000 words. Or roundabout. Or nowhere, and then you're gonna catch up this weekend. I don't know how you do it. But I just keep it with the regular... way of separating the words. But yeah, you can reach me at mightymer@gmail.com. Remember, if you want to enter the Fonda Lee discussion, you can email me with just the word giveaway in the title, or the subject line, rather. You can find me on Patreon, patreon.com/mightymer, where you'll get access to our Discord, access to the archives, and discounted merchandise. I do need to go fix that up. So if you're checking it out in a couple of days and it's not there, please email me. I have ADHD and things fall out of my head frequently. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/mightymer. And my website is merverse.com, where you'll see all my stuff. So thank you all. Thank you for listening. And hopefully I'll see you Thursday, 3 p.m. on twitch.tv/mightymer. And, or else in the feed, because you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks. And hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. I should be writing.
doctor. Now I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.